Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Good morning, church. Let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful time that we can gather together to worship you and to listen to your word, Lord. Grant your servant the ability to speak, and your people, your beloved children, the ability to understand what is spoken today, Lord. May your name be glorified. Despite our unworthiness, Lord, use us mightily for your glory as faithful witnesses in Malaysia. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's such an honor and privilege to speak God's word with you this morning. And I want to thank the leadership of the church for your kind invitation for me to conduct the seminar. Reverend Alexa, Reverend Dickey, Pastor Yu Yong, and so many of you have contributed to the success. In fact, it's only part one, so I shouldn't say success because it's part two yet to come of this seminar. And I'm so heartened that I think there were about 100 people who came yesterday's afternoon. But I'm slightly disappointed that among the 100 people, there were very few young people. Where are you, young people? Don't think that I'm a boring lecturer. If you can gather 30 people between 20 and 30, just 30 young people, I'll come again just for you. Hallelujah. No, I'm not asking to be invited again. No? Even flying from KK and KL is quite a chore in a way. But let me say this. 9 years ago, I was here conducting almost the same seminar, and I wouldn't dare to say that. Perhaps if you asked me 9 years ago, I wouldn't really dare to say perhaps the things spoken in the book of Revelation will happen or fulfill in our generation. But it seems that today, as I stand before the Lord and before you, the time is near. The day of salvation is nearer than we first believe. And if it's not within my generation, I'm turning 60, by the way, next year, it will be in your generation, young people. That's why you need to learn the book of Revelation. Now, I'm not prophesizing. In fact, maybe if the Lord delays in coming 50 years' time, don't blame it on me. But what I'm trying to say is that, young men and young women, it is also important for you to learn the book of Revelation. But let us look at the text of Scripture today. And they are altogether 20 verses in chapter 1. And I'll just pick three short passages to expound on the topic, the Alpha and Omega. Perhaps I should just start by explaining to you that the Alpha and Omega, we have a very famous course called Alpha, and I'm sure you know that the Alpha is the first alphabet in the Greek language, and Omega is the last alphabet in the Greek language. And I was just joking with some of you yesterday that probably the only positive that came out of the COVID-19 pandemic is that we learned a few more Greek alphabets, because they were Delta variant, Omicron is probably still going around, and these are all Greek alphabets. And all of us should know a little bit of Greek, because during the end time, the name and the number of the beast, 666, is a name most likely, if you know it in Greek, totals up to 666. If you don't know what I'm talking about, ask those who have attended the seminar yesterday. Hallelujah. But let's get back to this couple of verses. I'll read from verse 4, Revelation 1. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. This basically explains what Alpha and Omega is. The enthroned one, God who is seated on the throne, and here it is He who is, who exists, who is ever present. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is ever present to meet every need and is powerful to save and to deliver. This is our God, who was. Right from the beginning, God was there because He's the creator of the world. In fact, He is the creator of time. And there is this wonderful phrase in the book of Revelation, chronos ougeti estai, time is no more. When will time be no more? At the sounding of the seventh trumpet, when Jesus returns to earth, you and I, believers, will be resurrected. We'll be with the Lord and with our resurrection bodies. We are no longer subject to time as we are now. That's why for us, for believers with the Lord, time is no more. We will understand time in a totally different way compared to what we know today. And He's not just the God who is and who was, but He is to come. He is the God of history. He will wrap up history. The events of the world will become worse before it becomes better. So put on your seatbelts. Be ready, ready to go through the end times. It befalls us in this generation or in the next generation or as the Lord wills, because He is a God who is to come, and He will come in the person of Jesus Christ. And every eye will see Him coming from the clouds, even those that pierce Him. All the tribes will wail on account of Him. Those that rejected Him in the first century, throughout 2,000 years, they will wail because time is no more, and they have no more time to believe or to repent and to turn to Christ. But for us believers, the second coming is our blessed hope. There will be glory. We are caught up in the air. It is said as the marriage of the Lamb. We are the bride. We will see the Lord face to face. But we are not hanging on in the clouds for too long because Christ is coming back to earth. So please come for the part two seminar. I'll be talking about the final things. Brothers and sisters, the first point I want to make, you know, even almost after 10 minutes introduction, I've just entered my first point now. Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And we are asked to emulate who Jesus Christ is. Christ is the witness. When He stood before Pontius Pilate, just before He was handed over to be crucified, He said this. Wow, that is one of the most powerful verses in the whole Bible, really. For this I am come. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, are you a king? Yes. For this I was born to be king and to be witness to the truth. If we are followers of Christ, we also will be faithful witnesses. Several times, a couple of times in chapter 1, John talks about his suffering, even on the island of Patmos, on account of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. It is not easy to faithfully proclaim the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ in our day, in our country and nation of Malaysia. It is not easy to declare that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. It is not easy to say that there's no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Because the Lord has said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And no man and no person comes to the Father unless by me. Brothers and sisters, the second thing is that he's the firstborn from the dead. Perhaps one reason why people don't quite like the book of Revelation is that there's a lot of suffering and death. But know that, as we have read the reading just now, Jesus died only for 3 days and three nights, but he rose again. He is the conqueror over death. He is the firstborn of the dead. And resurrection is also our blessed hope. Believers should not fear death. We are called to bear the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, bearing the cross, sometimes we can spiritualize things so much, you know. Oh, wearing the cross, I'm bearing the cross. Bearing the cross means prepare to die for Jesus Christ. The cross is the most horrific form of punishment in the ancient world. It is shameful. Jesus was most likely stark naked when he hung on the cross. It is degrading. It is horrific. Our Lord has died on our behalf. And even though we may have to go through suffering in the end times, and God knows the number of those that shall be killed, don't worry, I would think a majority of Christians won't have to go through martyrdom, but there will be a select few. Only God knows the number during the end time that will be prepared to give up their lives for Lord Jesus Christ. We have to hope that as Jesus is the firstborn of the dead, we shall also be resurrected and participate in the first resurrection and enter into glory with our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. At the end time, nations, there are plenty of chaos. It seems that the power of the world, it is so powerful that as Christians or as the minority, we are subjected to all kinds of pressure. I'm not even talking about the book of Revelation. Even now, perhaps, you feel the pressure as living as the minority in our country. And really, for me, as a speaker of Bahasa, I think the challenges are multiplying, perhaps in the next few months. We may have to change slightly our Bible, you know, and take a word or two out if we want to abide by the law. I don't want to speak too directly. It is all online and can be viral here and there. But do pray. They will be suffering on the account of the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Reverend Dickey, for the very warm introduction. Perhaps to just set the record straight, I didn't pastor many churches. I pastored three SIB churches. When I'm in Sabah, 99% of my ministry is done in Bahasa Malaysia. In Singapore, it's 99%. I spent 6 years as a lecturer in Singapore, 99% in English. I think I've spoken twice in Indonesian churches, but I've spoken in about 40 different Singaporean churches, all in English. So I thank the Lord for the gift of, at least I can consider myself a bilingual. I'm not a trilingual like most of you here. You're much better than I am. You can speak Chinese Mandarin. I'm a pure Chinese, but I cannot speak Mandarin. Ni hao ma is about all that I can say, you know, because I'm not Chinese educated. But I thank the Lord that I'm fairly proficient in Malay. I've written a couple of Malay books. And to you young people, I can say I don't want to promote myself, because if you come to my seminar next time, you might be bored and you think that I may not be speaking the truth. In my last pastorate, just a couple of years ago, when I returned from Singapore 2014, back to Sabah, I think there's a song called The Year of Jubilee. I was turning 50. I felt the Lord call me to return to Sabah. You know the Year of Jubilee? You return to your land, to your family, to your possessions. And my family is my SIB churches. the tribal peoples of Sabah. I have served among them a total of 23 years, 6 years in Singapore, 23 years. And I've just started in SDS only a month ago officially. And I was just kidding that perhaps the Lord knows why that I have to move to SDS, because I might not be able to survive on my SIB salary. You know, we are experiencing hyperinflation. Every few months, 10, 20%. I like my peanut butter. It's already 22 ringgit. In Sabah, last time, 25 years ago, maybe 7 ringgit. Just hyperinflation for you, brothers and sisters. But when the Lord leads, I believe I'll return to my SIB family. And I'm proud to be a pastor of SIB, especially in the Bahasa-speaking community in Sabah. Brothers and sisters, the next verse, in verse 4 and 5, Jesus, who loves us and frees us from our sins. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And he loves each and every one of us. Imagine this. If you visit a king in the world, you probably have to come at least 1 hour, you know. And there are so many protocols that you're so afraid you may say the wrong thing, even though maybe the Agong or some other king in foreign nation invites you. But Jesus is different. He loves us. Paul says, now I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is the kind of king that we serve. He died for us. He loved us. Do you love Jesus? And I can testify to you, brothers and sisters, that one reason why I can sustain my ministry, I shared briefly yesterday that just 2 years ago I was pastor. I can perhaps share a like moment with you. When I returned to Sabah in 2014, I was appointed a pastor of a Ranau church in Ranau. Do you know where Ranau is? The earthquake happened in Ranau, 2015. And I would say 99% of my church members are Kadazan Dusun, you know. And I'm the only ethnic Chinese among them. But I think they love me very much. You know what inspired me? The first service is packed with 250 people in just one shop lot. Well, you are so blessed. I think this hall, you know, if the first floor is filled, you can sit maybe 1,000 people. We only renting one shop lot, we conduct two Sunday services. First Sunday service packed 250, second service 150. In fact, I probably pastored the largest church in Ranau, 99% Kadazan Dusun. You know what makes me happy? When I go up to the church, 7:30 I open the gate, 8 o'clock is the first service. I have 50 students waiting in the gate, all calling me out, Pastor! Just by them calling me Pastor, wow, my spirit really lifted. I can preach twice with no problem. Wow, but Sunday afternoon, so tired. So tired. My church members love their pastor, and I love them with the love of Jesus. And Jesus loves us. And by loving Jesus, we can do many things. We can do great things. Through Christ, we will prevail. We can sustain our faith through suffering, through tribulation. The second part of the verse that I want to share with you is in verse 9 and 10 about John in the Patmos. Do forgive me that I purposely didn't bring my tablet because going through the airport security is a real hassle. You know, you take off your watch, your belt, you know. So I think one laptop is enough. More than that, I may forget. So I just left my tablet behind. Because I use the tablet, I can enlarge the words. When you're turning 60, you know what I mean. It's very difficult to read from the, even though it's large print here, and I have to change my specs, my reading specs I'm wearing now. John, your brother and companion in suffering or tribulation, maybe tribulation is better, because in the Greek it's thiflis, and kingdom and patient endurance, that is in Jesus. suffering or tribulation, kingdom and patient endurance. Kingdom is sandwiched between tribulation and patient endurance. In Acts, a saying from Paul the Apostle, Acts 14:22, if I'm not mistaken, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Not through many comforts or, you know, conveniences and so on. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And the concept of the kingdom sandwiched between tribulation and patient endurance is that if you patiently endure during tribulation, the door into the kingdom of God is wide open for you. And Christ is the firstborn of the dead. There's no need to fear death. Even though we die, we shall rise. We shall live forever with our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, and the final passage here, I'll take after the vision of John walking in the midst of the seven lampstands. He had this very frightening experience. Verse 17. When John saw Jesus, in the vision, walking in the midst of the seven lampstands or menorahs, he fell at his feet as though dead. And then Jesus placed his right hand on John and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last." That's where Alpha and Omega is. Alpha and Omega, the first letter, the last letter in the Greek alphabets or Greek language. And basically, Jesus is saying, I'm the first and the last. I control everything. There may be chaos on earth. The two beasts, the Antichrist and false prophet, may be causing havoc, persecution against the church. But in the hand of Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slaughtered, he holds the scrolls with seven seals. God determines what will transpire on earth. The devil has no place. As is prophesied, as written in the words of this prophecy, so it will happen. But Jesus is in control. He is the first and the last. And he says here, let me just read. "Do not be afraid, I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and now I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." My brothers and sisters, I think this year is my 41st year walking with Christ. And I seldom share my personal conversion. In fact, I just came across a book say that don't share your personal testimony with others. What a title of a book, you know. I guess, but I've not read it, so I'm not sure what he's trying to say. But I think only after I became a Christian last year, I celebrated my 40th anniversary in Christ. Then I share, maybe perhaps twice. So this could be the third time. I want to share briefly. Just now I talk about the love being the strength and foundation of my ministry. And if I'm facing challenges or sufferings, I don't think you can find any Chinese able to work with SIB for more than 20 years. You know, I'm not trying to scare you. I hope there are missionaries among you. And you can go to Sabah and God quicken you. Just speak Bahasa, very easy, you know, Bahasa. Everyone knows how to speak Bahasa. You have the love for the people and so on. But there are many occasions, it was my personal conversion experience that has sustained me. I was only 17 years old, first year law student at Canterbury University in New Zealand. And suddenly one night on the 23rd of April, I remember the events very clearly, although the time factor, I'm not sure. It could be 11 or 12 midnight. So I consider 24th of April, 1982. That is my born-again experience. I just knelt down in my room, sharing with 5 other Christians, all males during my time, still very conservative, no mixed flatting, either men or the women on the other hostel and so on. And suddenly I felt the divine presence. And I began to weep. Felt sorrowful for my sins. There was deep conviction in my heart. And then I began to weep some more. You know, and now I think that I have the gift of tears, like Simon the theologian of the early 11th century. He wrote a whole book on the gift of tears. He like, not to say he likes to cry, but when the Lord touched him, you know, he will weep. When he sees the vision, he will weep. I'm not like Simon the theologian, no, you know. But I think I have the gift of tears because my first encounter with Christ, I must have wept for almost 2 hours. I wept for joy because after the sense of being sorrowful for my sins, I felt such a love, such a wonderful love. I mean, 17-year-old boy, I guess. I'd never been in a romantic relationship. Maybe puppy love, yes lah, you know. I mean, I know the love of a woman, or I have fallen in love, you know, puppy love kind of thing. I know my father's, mother's love, great parents. My grandmother's love, great grandmother. My 3 younger brothers, they all love me. But when I experienced the love of Jesus Christ, only after I bought the Bible, I realized that what happened to me was Romans 5:5. The love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. 3 days after my conversion, I bought my first Bible. And I've read it ever since. And during the encounter, I had this vision of Christ, you know, bright, shining right in front of me. Formerly, I was a Roman Catholic. I went to church during my youth, but then I slipped away. But the verse says, I am alive. This is exactly what I heard during that midnight, 1982. For the first time, I realized that my religion is not something that, you know, the father or the priest speaks from the pulpit, or what my parents taught me, or some tradition or history, or even from the Bible. For the first time, I knew Jesus was indeed alive because I've heard him spoke that to me. I am alive. And ever since then, I preach the risen Christ. Within 6 months, in Ranau, 2 Sunday services, perhaps more than 100 people came in, added to the church. In fact, we were looking, I just pastored there 1 year plus, we were looking for a more spacious shop lot to accommodate the growing church. And then our leaders posted me to the Bible College as acting principal. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know the love of Jesus today? Do you know that God loves you with a love or agape? We can almost say it's unconditional love, a pure kind of love that no other love in the world is even near in comparison. And every human being needs to feel and experience such a love. And if you have experienced the love of God poured into your hearts by the Holy Spirit, you'll never be the same. So sometimes even Christians, you know, we still talk about other people or other races in a rather derogatory manner. But if you love the, if you have experienced the love of God, you won't be able to do that. In Sabah, close to 1 million could be considered perhaps illegal. I even bought the Royal Commission report. So I'm saying something that is written, acknowledged 600,000 undocumented migrants. And sometimes even the church kind of, pendatang tanpa izin, wow. If I meet them, the love of God just flows from my heart. I talk to them nicely. If they're illegal, let the police do their work. Deport them. They have broken the law, so isn't it? But I'm not the police. My task, my responsibility is to love everyone. Because the Word of God in James says that every man and woman is created in the image of God. And we must respect them, honor them. And if we can practice that, we are indeed faithful witnesses in Malaysia. Often, so much division is because of racial discrimination, even hatred, polemics against one another. But let us be the followers of Christ. If we are touched and changed and transformed by the love of Jesus Christ, we are empowered to love others. And through the love of God, we preach the gospel. Let the Holy Spirit work, draw people. When we exalt Christ, He will draw all men and women unto Him for the glory of His name. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for today. I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Petaling Jaya Evangelical Free Church. You love them so very much with agape love, O Lord. I pray that each one who is present in this sanctuary today, young and old, man or woman, Lord, you love us all, Father. Behold the manner of love that we are called the children of God. Cause us to experience such love, Lord. And you love us that you die for our sins. You have broken the chains of sin in our life. We now experience freedom in you, Lord, that we can declare this gospel, the gospel of salvation, to all nations in the world. Father, I pray for this church, that you use this church, Lord, mightily for your glory as faithful witnesses, that we are ready for all things on account of your word and the testimony of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful time together. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all these things. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.